Good morning again. And again, I'm just excited to be able to experience this time of the year again together as church family, as family and friends get together. And I hope that today that it is a good time for you, a good time of fellowship and friendship and food and all those things. And now, one of the things that I continue to marvel at how good our God is, and you know, it doesn't have to always work out the way we want it for it to be good, but I've had, for the last 3 weeks, my one ear has been completely shut, and the last time I preached, it was really hindered me, I felt, in being able to share, and it bothered me, and so I prayed a lot this week that my ear would open up so I could, so it wouldn't hinder my sharing here this morning. And when Ray was leading us in song here this morning, we were sitting here singing, my ear popped a little bit. We were over in the prayer room, popped a little more, and later on here, just a little more, and it's at a good place. Hallelujah. So, anyway, just a small thing, but my hope was that would change. And I titled the message this morning, The Hope of Christmas. And I know that all of us are sitting here this morning and we can share stories of things that we hope for, things that we would like to see happen, things that we wish for. It's more wishful thinking than it is a hope. And I want to talk about the hope that we have in Jesus this morning. There is no other hope. Amen? There is no other hope. Had that baby, Jesus, not come in that manger, in that place in Bethlehem, if he had not come, then there would be no hope for you and I. And today we can stand with assurance knowing that we have salvation through the blood of Jesus, through the shed blood of Jesus. This baby Jesus that we celebrate, through his blood, through his going to the cross and dying, he is the hope of Christmas. He is the hope that we have. And if we're hoping for things in this world, you're going to be disappointed. But when our hope is in Jesus Christ and in him alone, then you will have a hope. You will be a person that lives a hopeful life. And it's not just that things work out for you. It is not a hope that I'm going to get a raise, or that I'm going to get the perfect Christmas gift this year, or hope that whatever. You can name all the things that you can think of that we find ourselves titling hope that we hope for. But if our hope is not in Jesus Christ, then we miss it. We live in a world, and you can turn with me to Hebrews chapter 6. Hebrews 6, and we'll look at some of 7, but Hebrews 6:13 is where I'll start reading there. In the meantime, we live in a world that is full of hopelessness, and it's no secret to any of us that it seems like suicide is at an all-time high in our country, in America, the land of the free, the home of the brave. What is wrong? What is wrong? And in all these people you will find that have committed suicide, it is a sense of hopelessness, a sense that there's nothing to live for. And what are we as Christians doing? What are we doing as it relates to sharing to this lost and hopeless dying world the Christmas story and its entirety? Not just about the baby, not just about the giving of gifts, not just about going out and buying and all those things, but the truth about the story is the hope that comes with Jesus. And if you're here this morning and there's a question in your mind as to whether or not you are born again, saved, and ready for the trumpet to sound, and know that when that trumpet sounds, that you will spend eternity with God in heaven. If you're here this morning and you don't know that for sure, I challenge you, today is the day. Do not put it off, because this baby, this Jesus that we talk about, that we celebrate, is the hope, the only hope that you have of getting out of this world alive. He is the only hope that you have of getting out of this world alive. Amen? That's our hope. So suicide. People were trying to dull their hopelessness with all kinds of things. They fill it with drugs and alcohol. They fill it with pornography and sex, power and prestige, work and vacations, trying to fill that hopelessness. Find something that's going to bring hope. And I'm here to tell you this morning, those things won't bring it. They will not bring hope. They will not bring a sense of something worth living for. Something worth living for is not those things. It is in Jesus Christ and Him alone. We have the opportunity of being connected to the high priest who goes into the Holy of Holies, who stands before the Father and intercedes on you, on behalf of you and I. That's who we're connected to. The ultimate high priest. The one who knows you like nobody else knows you. Last time I preached on the deceitfulness of riches, which is something that I find that people find that people go after as another thing of looking for hope. And if hope is not to be found in this world and what it has to offer, then where is it to be found? Hope is only found in Jesus Christ. God sent his Son into the world to bring hope to a hopeless people. Have you experienced the hope of Christmas? Have you experienced the hope of Christmas this morning? And know that it's real and you're not living a hopeless life. But I'm here to tell you this morning again that if we never get this baby Jesus, if we never get him from the manger to the cross, if we never get him from the manger to the cross, and from the cross to the grave, and from the grave to the throne of our hearts, then he's not Lord at all. Until we get him there, he is not your Lord. Until he is taken from the manger to the cross to the grave to the throne of your heart and put there, he is not Lord of all. Is your anchor, is your soul anchored to the rock this morning? Is your soul anchored to the rock? The storms of life are raging. The winds of adversity are blowing us every which way. Fears and doubts threaten to drown us in hopelessness. Satan has come to kill, steal, and destroy. We need an anchor that keeps the soul. Will your anchor hold? Turn with me to Hebrews 6, verse 13. For when God made a promise to Abraham, because he could not swear by one greater, he swore by himself, saying, surely blessing, I will bless you. Multiplying, I will multiply you. And so after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. For men indeed swear by the greater, and an oath for confirmation is for them an end of all dispute. So God is saying that here, the writer is writing that when God made a promise to Abraham, he made that promise based on what he spoke was the truth, that he spoke truth, and it was upon him. He was the only one that was high enough that he had to swear upon himself and could not swear on anything else. So we have promises that are made by this God. And surely blessing, I will bless you, and multiplying, I will multiply you. So after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. For men indeed swear by the greater, an oath for confirmation is for them an end of all dispute. Thus God determining to show more abundantly to the heirs of the promise, the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath. That by two immutable things in which it is impossible for God to lie, we might have strong consolation, who have fled for refuge to lay hold of the hope set before us. This hope we have as an anchor for the soul, both sure and steadfast, which enters the presence behind the veil. Excuse me. Where the forerunner has entered for us, even Jesus, having become high priest forever according to the order of Melchizedek. And then jumping over to chapter 7, verse 22. By so much more, Jesus has become surety for a better covenant. Also, there were many priests because they were prevented by death from continuing. In other words, they got old and they died, simple in layman's terms. But he, because he continues forever, has unchangeable priesthood. Therefore, he is also able to save to the uttermost those who come to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. For such a high priest was fitting for us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and has become higher than the heavens, who does not need daily, as those high priests, to offer up sacrifices for first for his own sins and then for the people's. For he did once for all when he offered up himself. For the law appoints as high priests men who have weakness, but the word of the oath which came after the law appoints a son who has been perfected forever. Hallelujah. We have a high priest who does not need to, first of all, go and take care of his own sins before he can offer up a sacrifice for our sins. And Jesus, this baby who came and who was laid in the manger, who we worship, whom we celebrate today, this Jesus is that one who has gone into the, has made the way into the Holy of Holies, where we can go now with him and we can experience that life and we can experience it abundantly with him while he intercedes for us on our behalf. In verse 18, or in verse 19 of Hebrews 6, it says this: "This hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, which enters the presence behind the veil." This hope that we have is an anchor. This hope that we have is an anchor. And I had to think about, what does it mean for an anchor? For those of you that have ever been out on a boat, an anchor is a very important part of a boat. And when you're out on the water and you don't have an anchor, at some points you can feel somewhat helpless, and especially with ships and things that get blown around more by the wind. An anchor is something that is essential to keep us from running into rocks, from being blown where we don't want to go, and it keeps us from drifting. It keeps us stable in a storm. And here's another thing about an anchor that probably is not used as much today anymore, but they called it kedging. An anchor was used to kedge. And what they did was they would take, there would be a place where if the ship got grounded or somewhere where it was hung up a little bit, they would go out with a dinghy, a little boat. They would take the anchor and they would take it out away from the boat, and they'd drop the anchor, and then they would winch the boat off of the wherever they were hung up. Or they would use that as another way of getting in close to somewhere where they didn't want the wind to blow them in. They would take this little dinghy and they go take the anchor in, and then they pull themselves in close to it. We don't often think about this hope, this anchor that we have, as being something that we pull ourselves towards. But I thought it was kind of a good picture of the hope that we have, is that we pull ourselves towards Christ. That's the hope that we have. And I pray this morning that you're here and that you're standing on the promises that God made, and they are sound, they are solid, they are rock solid. And this hope that we have is the anchor of the soul, both sure. It's sure when you anchor it. One time we were down at Blue Marsh fishing and dropped our anchor down, and we went to pull the anchor up. We couldn't get it loose. There was nothing we could do. We went around and pulled on that thing as hard as we could. We couldn't get that anchor released from the bottom, to whatever it was hooked on. That's our God. We are hooked on something that will not move, that will not give up the anchor. It is solid. It is sure. It is something you can count on in a time when things are becoming less sound. This hope, which we have, an anchor of the soul, both sure and it's steadfast. It's sure and it's steadfast. It stays, which enters the presence behind the veil, is what we have. What are some of the promises of God that we hold on to? That his love will never fail. We can stand here with a surety this morning and know that God's love will never fail. It's a promise that we can hold on to. It's a promise that is sure, it is steadfast. And again, as we celebrate Jesus, remember what we're celebrating. We are celebrating, this is God's Son, our Redeemer, our Savior, not just a baby, but our Savior, our Redeemer. But this is where it started on Christmas, the day that we celebrate as Christmas, when Jesus was born. Salvation is available to all who believe, another promise that we know is sure. God will always care for his children. We know that to be true. And it says in Philippians 4:19, and my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory with Christ Jesus. Another one is believers will see Jesus in glory. That's a promise. We can hold on to it. It's not going to change. The dead will be raised. It's a promise. We can hold on to it. It will not change. Heaven will be my home. Heaven will be my home. It's a promise that we can hold on to. It will not change. The Webster's definition of hope is not the same as the Bible's. If you're going to go to the Webster's dictionary to define hope as the Bible talks about hope, you're going to be misled. But Webster's definition of hope is the desire accompanied by expectation. And there's a couple of things that weaken this whole desire accompanied by expectation. So much of it is built on feeling. So much of it is built on feeling. For instance, if a man says, I hope my football team has a good year, does the feeling guarantee a good football team, a good outcome? Nope. I can hope, excuse me, another part of that definition is the word is desire. Desire accompanied by expectation. And again, if a girl says, I hope he will ask me out on a date, does the desire guarantee the date? If an adult says, I hope my grandfather will recover from cancer, does the desire guarantee the recovery? If a person says, I hope I get this job, does the desire guarantee the job? See, it's not that kind of hope that we're talking about this morning. The hope that we have is an assurance of something to come that we know now is ours to come. It's the hope. It's a hope that we live in. It's a living hope. So where is your hope? Is it in relationship? Is it money? Is it your job? Your health? Or is it in the promises of God? In chapter 8, verse 1, it says this. Now this is the main point of the things we are saying. We have such a high priest who is seated at the right hand of the throne of the majesty of the heavens. This is Jesus. And hope is found only in him. And it's not in our relationships with other people. It's not in our relationship with things. Our hope is not found in that. It is found in Jesus only. He is the fulfillment of God's promise. And it cannot be frustrated. In other words, Satan tried hard to frustrate God's plan. And he tried to kill, when he had Jesus killed at the cross, thought he had accomplished frustrating God's plan. Was not to be. God's plan is not to be frustrated. Here's a couple of verses that describe, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. It is a living hope. It is alive. It is not something that is dead. It is not something that we desire or wish for. It is living. It is alive. It is a hope that we have that we can face this world. Another one is this: Now may the Lord Jesus Christ himself and our God and Father, who has loved us and given us an everlasting consolation and good hope by grace, comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word and work. The Bible also talks about Christ being our eternal hope. At that time, it says, you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenant of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. Another one in 1 Thessalonians 4:13, but I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. The hope of Christmas is Jesus. It's our only hope. It is the only thing that we have that we can hold on to. And it's something that we can look forward to. Just a quick story here from Anna Frank. Anna was a Jewish girl that later became a writer who lived during the days of the Holocaust. Annie and her family hid out during the German raids. They sweated for their lives for days. The Jewish family tensed with fear at each mysterious sound. After days of hiding, the Germans came for Annie and her family. And the story closes with Annie's father saying, "For days we lived in fear, now we live in hope. Now we live in hope, not fear." Hope does not disappoint. It says in Romans 5:5, "Now hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us." Hope gives us a reason to live. He didn't bring us this far to leave us. We're not at this place in life and God's just going to pull out. Not going to happen. It's sure. It's steadfast. Just as sure as we know that that little baby came that day in Bethlehem. He didn't teach us to swim to let us drown. He didn't build his home in us to move away. He didn't lift us up to let us down. Hope gives us a reason to live. And just a lighter story, a little Lucy and Linus give us an illustration of this principle. In one of the cartoons, Lucy and Linus were sitting in front of a television set when Lucy said to Linus, "Go get me a glass of water." Linus looked surprised. "Why should I do anything for you? You never do anything for me." And Lucy said, "On your 75th birthday, I will bake you a cake." Linus got up and headed to the kitchen and said, "Life is more pleasant when you have something to look forward to." Isn't that the truth? Isn't life so much more pleasant when we have something to look forward to? And I'm asking you this morning, do you have something to look forward to? Do you have something to look forward to? Amen. We do. We have a hope. This is not it. This is not it. When we get fixed on these things and this stuff, I said it before, I say it again. This is not it. Our hope, our living hope, is that in Jesus Christ, we are saved, and the promise of an eternal life with him is just as sure today as the day you die. You do not need to wait until you die to know if you have been saved. Amen? I grew up believing that way. I grew up with the impression that I could only hope until I would get there. I was not able to know that today, know that I was saved and born again. Until that day, when I believed in the true finished work of Jesus Christ, there's a hope came in me that I cannot describe to you. A living hope, a live hope. Today, if you're here and you're not believing that what Jesus did for you is finished at the cross, then make it right with him, because you will experience new life, I assure you. You will experience a hope that is worth living for. And we all want that. We all want something to live for and to look forward to, a hope that we can hold on to. That's the promise that we have. That's the promise that we have in God's word, that Jesus who became, he went from the manger to the cross to the grave and went to be seated with God in glory. We have such a high priest who is seated at the right hand of the throne of the majesty in heaven. We are one with him. We are one with him through his spirit, through the spirit of God. He has made it possible that you can have hope and have it abundantly this morning. Do you have that hope? Is your anchor set? Is your anchor holding to the rock that is sure, that is steadfast? Or is it things? Or is it this world has caused you to become hopeless? Does your anchor hold? Does it firm remain? And I was going to quote some of the words of that psalm, but we'll leave that for today. And I'm not going to keep you long. I know you've been here since 8:30, so blessings to you. Carry on. The hope that we have is in Jesus Christ. And we celebrate for a reason today. We celebrate with a purpose. We celebrate because we have hope that we didn't have before. Amen. Father, we thank you this morning for your goodness. Thank you, Lord, for the opportunity we have to look into your word and again draw the truths from your word. Lord, we have been fed with physical food, and I pray, Lord, that you would take these words of your book, the scriptures, the Bible, that you would take these words and that you would make them part of us so that we would be able to continue to hold fast to the hope and the faith and in you that you have given us through your son, Jesus. Thank you for that, Lord. Thank you for the opportunity this morning, Lord, to fellowship together, to have food together, and to hear your word, and to sing together, and to share with each other. Lord, I pray for the future of the church. I pray for our future of each person individually, Lord, that we would be able to continue to grow and to become all that you want us to be, Lord. And we know that that's impossible without that hope. And so, Lord, if there's anyone here this morning who needs to make things right with you, who does not have hope, Lord, today that hope can be attained. Not in things, not in the stock market, not in anything else that's going on in this world, but in you alone, Lord, in you alone, we have that hope. And I pray today, Lord, that you would be honored, glorified, and lifted up. Go with us, Lord, as we go from this place. May we be a living, shining testimony of that hope, that we would be children, your children, living a hopeful life that would be demonstrated to all that we come in contact with. So we give this time and place to you in Jesus' name. Amen. I invite the chorus to lead us in a closing song.